In the name of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen. Our text for today is God's Word in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And it talks a lot about shepherds and a lot about flocks. Today, on Rally Day at Holy Cross, as we begin a new Sunday school year, we might think of our Sunday school teachers and staff and teachers and helpers as shepherds, too. Under shepherds, as it were, of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. For the lambs, those children who are entrusted to us for a little bit of time each week, entrusted to us by their parents, who, by the way, are shepherds, too, of them. Today also happens to be Grandparents' Day in our country. I don't know if it's not a church holiday. I guess maybe it's a Hallmark holiday. But we think sometimes of grandparents, too, as they have a role to play as shepherds of their grandchildren. And of course, we think of parents, fathers and mothers who are the spiritual leaders in their household, shepherds of their family. God charges parents to bring their children up in the instruction and admonition of the Lord. And when we think of parents and flock, well, maybe you think of your pastor as your shepherd. That's what pastor means. When you say Pastor Nickel, you're saying Shepherd Nickel. It's a reminder for me of what my responsibility is. There are church leaders as well. Well, our text today also talks about the flock of God. It has a lot to say about the flock of God. But on this day, September 11th, sometimes I think of where I was on September 11th, 2001, 15 years ago today. I don't know if you remember where you were. But it was a day not unlike today, bright sunshine, just a few clouds in the air. And out of that beautiful day, tragedy struck. Evil. And it seemed like a day, as Ezekiel said, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Kind of like it looked yesterday afternoon. And it makes you think, how are things in the flock of God today? If you remember 9/11, you probably remember the days after that when people flocked to churches. Church was a refuge. Church was a place where people came to maybe hear some answers. Why is this happening? How could this happen to us? For a while, the churches were full. For a while, our country pulled together like I've never seen before. Maybe not since World War II has it pulled together like that. For a while. Well, 15 years later, does it feel like that still? Do you feel safe and secure, more safe and secure than you did then? In Ezekiel, the prophet talks about, he speaks to people who felt kind of the same way. He speaks of, in Ezekiel, in the next chapter of Ezekiel, right after our text, he talks about wild beasts, which are like the foreign nations, I guess you could say they're like terrorists, who attack from outside. And their lawlessness and their savagery of attacking civilization, it seems like, everything that's good and just and true, or at least we think is, senseless killing. And in the chapter right before our text today, he talks about shepherds. Shepherds that God has appointed for his people. He's anointed kings to protect them, and prophets to speak God's word to them, and priests to bring God's blessings to them. And he says, they've all failed. Do our church leaders, do our national leaders, do we sometimes fail? Yes. And so Jesus says, or so God says, I myself will be your shepherd. I myself will chase after the flock. I will seek that one out of the hundred that is strayed. I will find that one who is injured and heal him or her. I will bind up those injuries. So how are things in the flock of God today? Well, we heard about the terrorists on the outside. We heard about the problems with, even within the church leaders who don't bring God's word to you, who don't feed you with God's word, who fail to call upon you when they should and try to help. But how are things in God's flock? He says, I'm going to judge between sheep and sheep, between ram and male goat. What does that mean? How are things in God's flock? When I was going into ninth grade, when I was in ninth grade, I had to change schools. And it was a change in many ways, but one thing was I could no longer walk to school. I had to ride the bus. And what was your experience riding the bus? Yeah, that's it. Well, you had to get up early in the morning, which was a problem for me in those days. And you get on the bus, and the bus would take you, it didn't take you to school, it took you to another school where you had to do what? Change buses. Okay? And so there's dozens of buses that come bringing all these kids in. Everybody has to change buses and get on the bus that's going to your school, right? And pretty soon, all these yellow school buses, they don't look the same anymore. You look for the number of the one that's going to your school. You had to memorize, you didn't have to, but you did. You just memorized, okay, that's the one. Because what would happen was, everybody would crowd around to get on the bus, right? To get on the bus going there. And teenagers, being what they are, everybody struggled to get on the bus. And it was especially bad in winter. When it was cold, it was dark, it was snowy, it was windy, you wanted to be the first one on the bus, where it was at least a bit warmer. So everybody would be elbowing their way to get on first, or to get on. And then kind of some rules developed in the crowd, right? There were certain mob rules of how do you get on the bus? Maybe you remember these days. It's like, okay, that guy is bigger than me. I'm not going to be pushing and shoving him. And that girl, well, she's really popular, so, you know, you don't really want to get her mad. But there's some people I kind of knew I could push out of the way a little bit, right? I could kind of elbow my way in. And then there's did you learn this skill? Did you learn this skill? They're pushing from behind. They're pushing me from behind. You know, and just you look innocent. I'm innocent. They're pushing me, right? Or how about this one? If you got really good, you could kind of see where the push was, right? You could kind of ride the wave into the bus. Training for real life in this world. Training for the world of work. Training for that thing that they call high school, which is really just a big popularity contest. Is that just the world of work or school? How is it in the flock of God? Do we do that here too? To ourselves, to our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ? How about in your own family? Does anybody shoulder their way into grabbing that remote first? We'll argue about what I want to watch? Where to go on vacation? What we're going to do with our day? What are we going to do with our day after the picnic? We're going to do what I want to do. You're going to do what I want to do. How do we want our church to run? We want it to run the way I want it to run. Because I'm right. Shepherd or not. What is that? Selfishness. We see wild beasts exterior from the outside who attack us out of what? Human selfishness. Either to take what we have, or to kill us, or to dominate us, to live our lives the way they want us to live it. It's human selfishness. Problems in the church because of the leadership of the church, or in our country because of the leadership in our country, because I want to do it my way. Do we see selfishness and narcissism among our leaders? And even in the church, when we elbow our way to the front to get our way, it's born out of selfishness. That's why God says, I will be your shepherd. I will be the one who comes to you to bind up your wounds. I will be the one who will chase down the stray and bring healing and forgiveness in your life. I will be the one who brings love in your lives. Now, if you notice in our text, it's a very interesting thing. He says, I myself will do this. Look at the text. How many times does he say, I will do it? I myself will do it. It's hard to put much more emphasis on that. I myself will do that. And then, just two verses later, what does it say? I will appoint David, my son David, to do it. So how does it go from I to him? Well, there's the mystery of the Trinity for you right there. God appoints himself in Jesus, the son of David, to be our shepherd, to forgive us for all that selfishness. He goes selflessly to the cross for you, the lambs of God. Every one of you is a lamb of God. Every one of you. You don't have to be just a little one here. Every one of you is a lamb of God who God loves, so that he sent his own son as the lamb of God to suffer the punishment for you, for all that selfishness. And he offers good news to you. Good news of grace and forgiveness through his word, his own body and blood. That's what he feeds you with, himself. Truth. Where do you come to consume love and truth and forgiveness? You come to our Lord's table. That's what he brings you through his Son Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for you. He went into the grave for you. And who came back on the third day with you on his shoulders. The shepherd carries a lamb to eternal life. That's where he brings you. He will bring you on the last day. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as we continue with the words of the Apostles' Creed.